Washington Week. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network.
I have decided to retire from Congress at the end of the present session. My decision is irreversible.
Thus did House Speaker Carl Albert this week become the third of the four top leaders of Congress to announce he is stepping down, following the majority and minority leaders of the Senate, Mike Mansfield and Hugh Scott. Albert said he had decided long ago he would not serve beyond his 70th year. That would have been another term away.
I'm now 68 years old, in good health, and there are other things I want to do while I'm young enough to do them. I want to spend more time with my family and lifelong friends. I want to be close to them because I love them dearly. I shall return to the scenes of my childhood in Oklahoma and live in the community where I grew up.
Back to Bug Tussle, where as a child, said Albert, he had dreamed of becoming Speaker of the House. Earlier in the week, he had vigorously denied he would consider leaving because of the frustrations of the speakership. There was frustration, some on the part of younger Democrats with Albert, who felt him less than vigorous in molding the unwieldy Democratic majority into a force. There was the latest frustration, which saw Albert's own beloved institution, the House, under attack, as a result of Wayne Hayes hiring an admitted mistress as a House committee clerk. Most specifically, it was the controlling Democratic majority of the House in danger of being discredited in an election year. It seemed no accident that Albert's heir apparent, Majority Leader Thomas O'Neill, moved in very strongly this week and accomplished half his purpose, getting Hayes to step aside as chairman of the Democratic Campaign Committee. It was one down and one to go, as Bernard Shaw reports.
Wayne Hayes returned to his home district in Ohio this weekend, minus one committee chairmanship, but clinging to his more powerful position in the House Administration Committee. The sex scandal has become a political issue, with President Ford saying in 1971 he warned against giving the Hayes Administration Committee widespread authority, saying it will never be retrieved until there's a scandal. House Majority Leader Thomas O'Neill accused the president of bringing low and cheap politics into the issue, of taking a cheap political shot. O'Neill said the Elizabeth Ray incident has nothing to do with the committee that has helped modernize congressional operations. House Democrats say if Hayes doesn't give up his chairmanship until all charges are resolved, the party caucus will strip him of his power. O'Neill thinks Hayes will stand aside.
Well, I would anticipate that Mr. Hayes would return to Washington on Wednesday after his election. And at that particular time, I would expect that he would step down as chairman of the committee and that a new committee chairman would be elected.
With the Justice Department, a federal grand jury, and the House Ethics Committee investigating, Congressman Hayes says he's confident he'll be found innocent of Ms. Ray's charge that he put her on the public payroll solely for sex. Bernard Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
Timing tells much in politics. Senator Hubert Humphrey did not wait until after the final primaries next Tuesday before announcing this week he may very well become an active candidate for the Democratic nomination. If Jimmy Carter does not emerge from Ohio, California, and New Jersey with a 1,200 or 1,300 delegate vote total. It remained to be seen whether Humphrey's indication would help hold Carter short. President Ford faced up to apparent reality this week. After winning Rhode Island but losing South Dakota and Montana this past week and expecting a net loss of delegates to Ronald Reagan next week, Mr. Ford conceded in somewhat indirect fashion in a Friday interview that he will not emerge from the primaries with a first ballot nomination assured.
We will go into the convention with nearly enough committed votes, and I think we can make some headway with the non-committed votes between now and then, and therefore I think we'll have a first ballot victory in Kansas City.
The period between the final primaries and the August convention thus becomes all important, and there were some eyebrows raised about the timing of the second in the series of Western Economic Summit conferences, which the president announced this week would take place in Puerto Rico in late June. Mr. Ford himself citing no urgent crisis.
In the past, world leaders have met to deal with crises, but today's complex problems require that leaders meet to avoid them.
The event would offer a high visibility 6 weeks before the convention, but any suggestion of politics was dismissed jointly by Secretary of State Kissinger and Treasury Secretary Simon.
We
do not believe that the cohesion of the industrialized democracies, the economic progress of their peoples, and their relation to other parts of the world is a partisan issue.
Naturally, people are going to say politics make the head of state look well, but I consider the charge of politics a poor substitute for thought.
There was summitry this week as Spain's new king paid a bicentennial visit to Washington to talk to the president and the Congress of democracy and other matters. Bernard Kalb reports.
The year 1492 has been re-celebrated these last few days. King Juan Carlos of Spain has been visiting, and there's been the inevitable remembrance of Christopher Columbus. President Ford joined in the tribute to the explorer who made the journey from the old world to the new. But 1976 is a bit more timely, 1976 and the years ahead. And the Spanish monarch was well received in his appearance before a joint meeting of Congress. Juan Carlos represents a Spain in transition from Franco to the future. His commitment to lead Spain from her authoritarian past into the democratic mainstream of Western Europe was just what Capitol Hill wanted to hear. Not that it will be an easy task. The authoritarian Franco legacy of 40 years is not instantly erasable. But Juan Carlos's monarchy is pointing in that direction of progressive reform, and his speech on the Hill helped firm up the expectation of a favorable vote on a new five-year treaty between the two countries. It allows U.S. forces to continue using military bases in Spain in return for $1.2 billion in aid and credits. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
The year 1215 was also celebrated this week in ceremonies in the Capitol Rotunda. With royal guards in bearskin hats standing at attention, the bewigged and berobed Lord Chancellor Elwin Jones of Britain's House of Lords presented the temporary bicentennial gift of the oldest known copy of the Magna Carta and spoke solemnly of that ancient document's gift to democratic institutions. Less solemnly, the Lord Chancellor commented on even being there in the capital the British once burned.
Those not familiar with our ways have thought it a trifle paradoxical for the British to be joining in the celebrations of the bicentenary of what was, after all, the loss of the American colonies. They overlook our traditions of compromise. We, in fact, regard the events of two centuries ago as a victory for the English-speaking world.
And so, the Washington Week, produced by Tony Stroily, I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News.